Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Fertility Answers podcast. I'm excited to be back again today for another month. I unfortunately am not excited about having to do another podcast all by myself, but while we're still COVID quarantining, this is probably the way to go. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about diet and fertility. This is another question that I get a lot. And another thing that you can actively kind of implement into your daily life as you're hanging out at home and slowly starting to venture back out. So diet and fertility, without further ado, let's tackle. First, I want to start off with simply an overview of kind of the major food groups. This is what a lot of people call the macros, the carbs, the fats, the proteins. So let's talk about carbs first. As with most things in medicine, with carbs, it depends. There are a couple of different categories of carbs, the processed and simple carbohydrates, the simple sugars and the processed sugars. These are the ones worth avoiding. Essentially, these simple sugars, they hit the gut, they go into the bloodstream, and they shoot up your blood sugar. And that in turn is a direct stimulation for increasing insulin. Insulin stimulates the ovary directly through actual insulin receptors, and this drives the ovary to make too much male hormone that triggers eggs to die too early. So that's a long story, very, very short, but increased sugar increases insulin, pushes on the ovary, makes too much male hormone, eggs die too quick. One day soon I will go into more detail about the ovarian steroid hormone environment and what that means for egg quality, but we'll get there one day, I promise. But for the time being, too much sugar equals too much insulin equals bad egg quality. And of course, this is especially true in PCOS. In PCOS women, the ovaries are bigger, the steroid enzymes that make the hormones are more active, and so they can make more androgens, and so this effect is even more amplified in those patients. Contrastingly, carbohydrates that come from things like whole grains, you actually get some benefits there. There are antioxidants and other pro-estrogen products in whole grains that actually are pro-fertility, and they help balance insulin and sugar metabolism and reduce stress on the ovary to help estrogen signaling. So carbs are an essential part of a diet, and they're impossible to completely avoid to any reasonable degree. So just making sure that the carbs that you take in are whole grains is really the focus. Moving on to fats. Fats are incredibly important, and really they have a bad rap as being bad, but without fat, you have no steroid hormones. Estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, those all come from fats. So having a healthy fat intake is important. So really, the thing to avoid is trans fat. It's associated with endometriosis, it's associated with ovulatory issues, it's associated with inflammatory issues, cardiovascular disease, etc. Studies that show increased intake of trans fats show decreased chance for pregnancy per month. So how to avoid trans fats really comes from just recognizing what has trans fat in it. So number one, try and buy things that are trans fat free. And number two, watch out for disguises of trans fat. So sometimes trans fat is disguised as partially hydrogenated oil. Look out for packaged baked goods or snack foods, frozen pizza. Fast food is probably the notorious one here. So just another reason to minimize fast food intake. Some studies that I came across, really interesting stuff, that the more times you eat out, the less likely you are to be fertile. Just kind of speaks to the correlation between intake of trans fat and other preservatives that industrial food chains employ. Kind of speaks to the more you're associated with those things, the more correlated with negative pregnancy outcomes you are, if that makes sense. I'll go into a little bit more detail in a little bit. So the converse of trans fat are the healthy fats, and these are things like omega-3s, fish oil, olive oil, that kind of stuff. So omega-3s in particular improve estrogen and progesterone production and might even delay ovarian aging in some mouse studies and a few human studies, which is super cool. Helps ART outcomes. So the EARTH study was a very popular American nutritional study, and that showed that 1% increase in omega-3s increased the chance for live birth by 8%, which is just a really nice highlight of the benefits of having healthy fats in the diet. Also, what we know is omega-3s are good for baby brain development. So having that on board in the preconception period tees you up for success as in the early development of a pregnancy. Protein. So this is complicated because there's just so many different kinds of protein, but we're going to tackle each one of them to a certain degree. You need protein. Protein are the building blocks of all things in the cell. A recommended intake is at least 0.8 grams per kilogram, just as a marker to kind of get an idea if you're taking in enough. the big flag with protein, just make sure that you understand where you're getting your protein, because this is an area that's ripe for concern regarding intake of pesticides, growth hormones, steroid hormones, other antibiotics, and other endocrine disrupting chemicals that can be significantly detrimental to fertility. If you haven't already, listen to the podcast on environmental exposures to get a better idea of kind of what we're alluding to there. The studies out there on types and sources of protein are pretty confusing, so I'll try and break it down into kind of simple summaries of what all we know. So dairy protein. There were some infertility studies in animal studies that showed that increased intake of galactose, which is a common substance found in dairy products, increased infertility. So in humans, what we have shown is that there may be issues with fertility with folks that take in high dairy intake. Some studies show that a high-fat dairy intake actually improves fertility compared to a low-fat dairy intake. Having at least some dairy on board is certainly not harmful. From the standpoint of just looking at IVF outcomes, some studies show either mild improvement with some dairy intake or no effect at all. European versus American studies are also varied and contradictory. The bottom line, it's really hard to say one way or the other, but data against taking in any dairy at all, very weak. So I don't think that dairy is harmful. There may be some argument for taking in more high-fat dairy than low-fat dairy, i.e. 2% or greater milk than skim milk, but it's certainly not harmful to have some dairy in your diet. So fish, this was some really surprising data that I came across. So of course, fish, concern for mercury. Again, listen to the prior podcast. Most studies show that the benefits of the fish oils and the other nutrients that you get in fish certainly outweigh the risks that you get, particularly if you pay attention to where you're getting your fish and making sure that they're safe. And fish intake improves IVF outcomes. 2 to 3 servings per week recommended, of course, avoiding those with higher mercury concentrations. Really cool study that looked at fish intake. They said, how many times do you eat it per week? And the more folks ate it, the higher the probability for live birth went up. From the lowest people that eat it the least, their probability of live birth was 34%. Compared to the people that ate fish the most, their probability for live birth was almost 50%, so a 15% increase. Red meat. Okay, so this one is really controversial these days, I feel like, but and rightly so, because there is a risk for endocrine disrupting chemicals and exposures for steroid hormones here. And there's possibly an interaction with red meat with ovulation in some studies, namely the NHS2. But there's also, other studies have shown an impact in embryo development and pregnancy outcomes in folks that have increased red meat consumption. So I think that there is a role for reducing red meat. So if you find that you're getting the majority of your protein intake from just red meat, I think that there is a role for trying to reduce that and replace it with something like fish. The summary being, red meat has a high potential for being contaminated with processing chemicals, etc., and may impact ovulation and fertility outcomes with increased consumption. So minimizing red meat intake and replacing it with other healthy sources of protein is reasonable. Soy, kind of a who knows thing. One study showed extremely high soy intake, more likely to not have children. But IVF studies show better pregnancy rates with soy intake, or even isoflavone supplementation, which is a component of the soy. So this is extremely confusing. I think there's a lot of confounders in the studies. We don't really know. Soy concerning for guys because it is a phytoestrogen, and that may affect sperm count. But for women, soy intake around the time of IVF, probably not a bad thing. Okay, so moving away from protein to other questions we get all the time. Can I drink? Alcohol is not recommended during pregnancy, of course. Studies looking at the effect while trying to conceive are pretty confusing. General recommendations are kind of taken as a common sense approach. So limiting drinks to 0 to 1 per day and about 4 per week seems to be a safe zone. One thing to note is binge drinking is certainly worse than occasionally drinking. And so if you're the kind of person that's like, oh, I'm just not going to drink during the week so I can have 4 to 5 to 6 on the weekend, that's probably more harmful than having one every other night, just to keep in mind. So folks say, okay, what's a drink? A drink is considered around 12 grams, a standard drink, glass of wine, a beer, a mixed drink with 1 ounce of spirits. That's about 14 grams of alcohol. So that's about one drink. Next question, caffeine. Most studies that do show harm or concern, they definitely have some limitations in their design. Again, be on the safe side, limit to 1 to 2 cups a day of coffee. This is equivalent to about 200 to 250 milligrams. So you can look on the side of a soft drink if you're a big Coke drinker, but if you're a big Coke drinker, that's definitely not good for fertility, so consider switching to something else like tea. But coffee's okay as long as you limit it to 1 to 2 cups. Again, 200 to 250 milligrams. Okay, so that's individual questions. Now let's take it back to a bit more actionable details, because the next question is, okay, what's my fertility diet? And this has been looked at a bunch of different ways. Diet studies, I don't envy dietitians and nutritionists, because it's really hard to do a good diet study. It's just not in our nature to do the same thing or eat the same thing day in and day out, and we're terrible at saying what we do or don't eat. So the diet studies are difficult. But what appears to be the most, again, reasonable, comprehensive, common sense type style would be something like Mediterranean with a focus on low glycemic index. So low glycemic carbs, whole grains, good fruits and veggies, organic when you can, okay, of course, and you want a good intake of protein, a good mix of veggie protein like soys and fish proteins, as well as, you know, some dairy and red meat. If you're going to have dairy, remember you want to focus on more of the high-fat dairy than the skim dairy. Make sure you're taking in a good multivitamin. The other thing about the Mediterranean diet that everybody always thinks of is olive oil. And olive oil, absolutely. Really cool study looked at folks that eat or cook with olive oil. They had a larger number of embryos after IVF cycle by a full extra embryo. Even among non-obese women, meaning women that are not necessarily on a diet, but just have this Mediterranean diet type style, even they show higher clinical pregnancy rates and higher live birth rates. So this isn't just a diet concept to lose weight. This is like the types of foods to focus on to eat while trying to get pregnant, because they appear to give the ovary the best environment to get pregnant. And again, I just want to highlight this really cool research that looked at fast food intake. Specifically, what they looked at was folks that ate non-home prepared meals, so folks that did not eat at home. The punchline from those studies are, if you didn't eat at least one meal at home a day, you were 3 times more likely to have issues with infertility. So just cooking at home once a day made you significantly more likely to not have issues with fertility. That was a really impactful statement to me that just spoke to how many preservatives and chemicals and other things that we take in from these foods that we pick up, you know, that are out of convenience. They have so many preservatives, they have so much in them that affects our bodies in ways that are very difficult for us to even appreciate or measure. Taking the time to make at least one meal at home so that you can avoid or at least minimize that exposure can be extremely impactful. And I mentioned soft drinks before. 3 or more soft drinks a day impacts egg quality, embryo quality, blast quality, which is the embryo at the day 5, day 6 stage, along with implantation rate and pregnancy rate. Some studies show similar effects with artificial sweeteners, so that may be a lot of what's going on there too, but we have a lot of work to do as far as figuring out the role of artificial sweeteners in fertility. Okay, so that's an overview of diet from a macro standpoint and a kind of a, okay, what's the best diet to employ these macro requirements and recommendations for the mother. For the paternal side, this is also important. Antioxidant supplementation and a healthy diet similar to the Mediterranean diet on the urology or the male side has also been shown to have similar improvements in sperm outcomes. Focusing on seafood, you know, fish, protein, etc., whole grains, fruits, veggies, decreased intake of red meat to minimize exposure to those chemicals and inflammatory markers, decrease processed foods, decrease trans fats. All of these things have been shown to improve semen parameters. So that's pretty straightforward too. Nothing different, which is convenient because it's really hard as a couple to cook 2 different meals every time. So it's nice to know that what's good for the ovary is good for the testicle. So that's a piece of reassurance and another kind of point towards the power of teamwork in that regard. The next question I get regarding diet, or kind of in that realm, is supplementation. There are 100 different supplements out there for the purposes of fertility. We should tackle each one. I really just want to focus on the things that I think pretty much anybody could benefit from. There are a bunch of different supplements that are good for individual patients and individual diagnoses, but in general, the cocktail that I would consider in folks that are trying to conceive would be, of course, a prenatal vitamin. Folate or folic acid is really important. All women get at least 400 micrograms of folic acid in their multivitamin, but in the prenatal vitamin, that's bumped up to around 800. But more studies have shown that even a slightly higher intake of 1 to 2 milligrams may shorten the time to conceive, so may improve monthly pregnancy rates. There are a handful of studies that also show increased risk of complications in pregnancy with increased intake, but the questions that have come up from those studies and those findings, the questions that when they re-looked at all that data, overall the slight increase in intake of folic acid or folate, as you prefer, has been overwhelmingly reassuring. So I think that in general, having a little extra folate or folic acid on board in addition to the prenatal vitamin is likely not harmful and potentially helpful. The great debate of whether or not you need folate versus folic acid versus methyl tetrahydrofolate, that's probably a 25-minute discussion. Suffice to say that there are some women out there that need methylated folate. They're kind of few and far between. Folic acid works for almost everyone, so you kind of just pick your favorite and talk to your doc about what you would need in your special circumstance. Vitamin D, that's another common one that we get. So vitamin D absolutely plays a role in reproduction. It binds at least 3% of the genome, and receptors are in the ovary, the endometrium, the placenta, they're everywhere. Some studies do show a correlation to fertility outcomes and low vitamin D, and so we think, oh great, all you need is more vitamin D and fertility improves. It's not that straightforward because a lot of prospective trials have not shown an obvious benefit in replenishing vitamin D and improving outcomes. That being said, it's very important, but it's just not the only puzzle piece missing. So it's not that clear that supplementation makes a difference in the aspect of fertility, but it is an important thing to make sure you're high on. Most folks are low. You don't want to go too high on vitamin D. It's fat soluble, so you can technically overdose on it. Careful with that. Monitor it with your doctor and make sure that you are kind of keeping track of where your levels are. Antioxidants, there's a bunch of different kinds. There's a bunch of different people that make them. Reproduction, making eggs, and especially making sperm is a stressful process. Antioxidants can help. There are some really good studies in sperm that show that it's helpful in sperm production. Not as clear as women, and the studies are too varied and too biased, to be honest, to make too much sense. So I don't necessarily have an antioxidant regimen that I recommend for folks. But in summary, proteins, you know, fish, soy, some high-fat dairy, limit red meat, carbohydrates, whole grains are going to be much better than simpler processed carbs, especially in women that have PCOS or insulin resistance. Fats, avoid trans fats. Focus on the healthy fats like omega-3s and things like olive oil. Good way to think of things in general. Mediterranean diet with a low glycemic index. And then as far as supplements to take while you're trying to conceive, at the very least, consider prenatal vitamin, a little extra folic acid, maybe a low vitamin D3 supplementation, and then make sure you're getting your omega-3s. Some prenatal vitamins have DHA in them. Not DHEA, but DHA, and that can be really great for baby brain development and egg health. If your prenatal doesn't have the DHA in it, consider adding on an additional fish oil supplement. But I think that kind of covers the general diet that is best been shown to help with fertility up to this point. I hope that's helpful. This has been really fun to go back through a lot of these data. So I hope that this gives you at least a working board to build off what you want to make your day-to-day and week-to-week look like. And I look forward to coming back next month with another episode. So take care, guys. Any thoughts, concerns, questions, feedback, feel free to reach out to us at podcast@fertilityanswers.com.